Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. This is Carnita Smith with Blog Talk Radio, Mission from the Heart Radio. I am so grateful and thankful to be on the program again, and just to be amongst the land of the living is such a blessing for me to just be faithful to the call that God has placed upon my heart, and then just to be a vessel for Him to work through, to dispense and extend the gospel of Jesus Christ. That is what this ministry is about, Mission from the Heart Radio. We like to expose the Word of God, and we enjoy expounding on the Word of God, and we certainly have a heart's desire to extend the word or the gospel of Jesus Christ, and that's what we are here for. And I just want to thank you for being faithful to this ministry, but most of all, being faithful to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I just want to give a little insight on our lesson tonight. I have a guest host that is back with us again, and this is Pastor Michael Crow. He is going with me tonight again, and I'm super excited that he has allowed time to be set aside to be with us again to help us further and deepen our understanding concerning the scriptures tonight coming out of Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to be focusing on three verses tonight. And I just enjoy walking through the scriptures verse by verse and just allowing it to just saturate our hearts and for it to be an impact in our life, but most of all for it to be an extension or a dispensing of the gospel of Jesus Christ to others in our family and just in our own little circle, or just be extending the gospel of Jesus Christ to a stranger, you know, in ways of that is just so beautiful to us, to allow God to use us in a beautiful way. So this brings us to our message tonight, and I hope you're ready to receive even more nuggets. Please open your Bibles and adjust your ears, but most of all, listen with your heart and allow the Holy Spirit to reveal to you, allow the Holy Spirit to teach you the beauty of God's Word. And so we're going to just pounce right in. And Pastor Crow, I just want to give you an opportunity to say hello before I just recap on the two types of soils we talked about last Thursday. So go ahead and just give a greeting this evening.
Well, first of all, I want to thank God for this opportunity to sow seeds. I want to thank God for using you to bring the word, to sow seeds throughout this country. And I want to encourage you to follow the lead of the Holy Spirit and let Him use you. I listen to you and my heart just rejoices to hear how the Holy Spirit comes to you. He works for you, and He works through you to others. So I'm very appreciative tonight that I have this opportunity to share in the Word, and I'm thinking about one of the callers that called last week and said she just enjoyed studying the Word because she was studying it by herself. Well, that's where I am, and I thank God for you, and I pray God will continue to bless His word, to spread out through this world. And I pray that He continue to use you and that this radio station be a blessing throughout this world. Thank you so much for this opportunity, and thank God for His word.
Amen. Amen. Well, I am so excited, as I've said in past programs, to have you be a guest of Mission from the Heart, because it's just a delight to sit at the Lord's feet and allow him to use a vessel such as yourself to expose the beauty of his word and definitely explain some of those the richness of his word, and then with the hope that we will go out and share the gospel with others as we have received or ate at his table this evening. So hallelujah, and thank you for, again, being a special guest host on this program. So I just want to thank those that are listening tonight, that you would tell somebody, continue to share this ministry with others, that they would be able to enjoy the richness of what you're receiving, and just do them a blessing, do them a favor by blessing them with the link of this ministry, Mission from the Heart Radio, by way of www.blogtalkradio.com/ Heart to Heart MFTH. I get a little confused, but Mission from the Heart is the meaning of the MFTH, but it is Heart to Heart. And let somebody know how you're being blessed by this on every Thursday evening, that others can hear, just as Pastor Crow said, that he prays, and I hope that we're all in prayer together as a body of Christ, praying for the ministry of God's body to go forth, that souls will be saved. And, of course, that is the ultimate of our work, is that others will come into the family of Jesus Christ. So we're going to move forward in this program. So I hope you have your Bibles ready. I hope you have questions. Now, we will open the lines up again, hallelujah, for you to share a verse or a situation or a testimony that you would like to hear, have others to be to hear your testimony, or a verse or a share moment that will bless somebody. And I have to express how others can be healed from the testimony of others, you know, and explaining and glorifying God how he brought you through, or a word that has carried you through, a verse. So we will be opening up the lines toward the end of the program for you to have question and share moments with Pastor Crow and myself. So please be prepared for that. But we're going to look at Matthew chapter 13, and I just want to do a recap, a little brief recap of what we talked about in the last two parts of this series. Now, I just want you to understand this series, this is our conclusion of the series. It's a heart thing, and I like to use that in a way to where we can understand that this series has been part one, understanding who the sower and the seed are, and we touched on that in part one, and you can go back and listen to that at your own personal study time on the website, on the radio website that I had given not too long ago, and you can listen to part two as well, which we talked about the first two types of ground. Please take advantage of this and revisit the program and re-listen and receive those beautiful nuggets that we talked about, the sower and the seed. And then last program was the wayside soil and the shallow soil, or stony places. And Pastor Crow, if you would help me, when we looked at the wayside soil of Matthew 13, verse 4, it talked about how that was a hard wayside place, a side of the land that is high in traffic, where traffic goes, and it kind of makes that particular side of the ground or that particular area of the ground become hardened to where there's nothing that really can penetrate through that hardened area to where growth or anything will grow through it. And that along the wayside is a signified type of heart, a hard heart. And it causes us to hear, but it goes in one ear and out the other. That's a hard heart or a hardened heart, going in one ear and out the other. And what I mean by that is we looked at how we can hear the word of God and just ignore it. It does not stir you. It doesn't do anything for you. It's just the heart is dull to it or numb to it. It doesn't receive it, and it doesn't produce anything from it. And we've heard the saying, goes in one ear and out the other. So that's just a person who refuses to hear. Do you agree? And so go right ahead.
I agree totally. And on last week, we refer again back to that 19th verse. And that 19th verse say, when anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catches away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seeds by the wayside. And as you stated earlier, that wayside signifies the heart that is hardened by worldly traffic and cannot be open to understanding, to comprehend the words of the kingdom. And when it talks about the bird, that signifies darkness or Satan. I don't even like all his name. I call him darkness. He snatches away the word.
Yeah.
And, you know, where will we be without the word? It's the word of God that shapes us. It's the word of God that helps us in our times of trouble. The word brings strength to us. And darkness does not want us to hear and rely on the word.
Amen.
Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing the word of God. So with the traffic of life, and when you talk about traffic of life, so many things going on, so much knowledge, we're in the information age, it can cause us to allow darkness when we don't hear to snatch away that thought, that word, because a person can be saved with one word, one sentence, one paragraph. So darkness' objective is that when the seeds fall by the wayside and the seeds don't go deep enough to get rooted, darkness snatches our thought, snatches that word. And you're absolutely correct in your explanation of that.
Amen. Amen. Yes. And that's, and then it brings us to that the next verse, which was verse 5, which are the rocky places, 5 and 6. And we talked about the verse says how others fell on the rocky places where they did not have much earth, and immediately they sprang up because they did not have depth of earth. So when the sun rose, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they were dried up. So the rocky places that don't have much earth signify the heart that is shallow and receives the word of God, but it doesn't have any depth within the rocks because of so many particular sins. You mentioned last week some hidden sins is what you said.
Yeah, we talked about on last week the stony places or rocky places that do not have much earth, which signifies that the heart is shallow in receiving the word. And deep within such a hearing are spiritual rocks. And we identified those rocks as hidden sins, personal desires, self-seeking, self-pity, which hinder the seed from taking root in the depths of our heart. And one of the things that that we talked about going into that verse 6, it talks about the sun. And see, we have to understand that the sun, which scorches heat, what it signifies, it signifies affliction and persecution. Let's look at verse 21. Read that verse 21 so we can get a better understanding of the sun, which with this scorching heat signifies affliction and persecution. I'm talking about in the rocky places, in the stony places. Read that 21st verse and let the word explain itself.
Okay. And we're in Matthew 13, verse 21, and it reads this way. I'm reading out of the New King James. Yet he has no root in himself, endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles.
In the midst of our sickness, in the midst of our financial conditions, in the midst of our social problems, in the midst of our persecution, when the word is there, Isaiah 61 and 1 say, Jesus say, I came to lift up hung down heads. Jesus say, I came to mend broken hearts. He say, I came to open up prison doors. I came to set the captives free. But when the seed, which is the word, because of the rocks in our lives, or because it does not grow deep enough, because the sun, which is the affliction, we don't have nothing to go to. The word can't help us. And I just believe there are witnesses out there that will tell you, preacher, when I was in the midst of my illness, the word helped me. When I was in the midst of my circumstances, it was the word that was brought back to my remembrance. Because why? It took root in our lives. So when the affliction came, when the persecution came, it did not, the sun did not scorch it away. Now here's the important part of because really the sun is supposed to be a blessing to us. Afflictions and persecution, we're going to suffer those. Paul talks about we have afflictions and persecution, but we're not down. We're down, but we're not out. Because the scorching heat of the sun causes the seed for growth and ripening. When the seed is deep and rooted, it helps. The sun helps the growth and the ripening of the crop. We need the sun. We need affliction. We need persecution, because it makes us, it helps us what? To depend on him in our affliction, in our persecution. Without that, we try to depend on what? Our fail. We try to depend on our money. We try to depend on these worldly things. But because the word has been planted in our heart, because the word is rooted in our heart, we rely on the word to what? Raise us up. The heat, the sun is for what? Growth. And when it's not rooted, the sun works what? Against us. Our affliction deals a terrible blow to us because we don't know how to call upon the Lord. We don't know how to let the word bring back memories to teach us how to what? Pray in our situation. Teach us how to what? Study God's word. And that's why dogmas don't want us coming to church. That's why dogs don't want you listening out to hear the word, because our faith coming by what? Hearing. And when it's rooted and grounded in our lives, when affliction comes, when persecution comes, I just believe tonight somebody going to call and say, yeah, you're right, preacher, called. In the midst of my affliction, I believe somebody called on it. In the midst of my persecution, I just believe somebody relied on the word. I believe the word came and spoke calmness to their heart, and prison doors were open. And I'm not talking about physical prison. He can do that too, but I'm talking about the prison doors in our lives. Somebody is locked up in a situation, in a circumstance, in a thought that they really don't want to be in. But guess what? The root, when the word is rooted in their lives, when the seed is sowed, guess what? He'll open up those prison doors. I believe somebody is held captive to a way, to an addiction, to a thought that they don't even want to be. But the word can set the captives what? Free. I believe somebody head is down tonight. And just the word could lift up hung down head when it is what? Rooted and grounded in our lives.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. And that's, I tell you, this is some, it's really, really rich. And, of course, how we use this word rich, and, of course, we like for our soil to be fertilized so that we can receive the richness of God's word, that it won't fall on hardened hearts or hard ground, that it would be, it won't fall on rocky places. It's just kind of a shallow thing. We want to be a good ground, and that brings us to these next two types of soil in this passage in Matthew 13, and we're going to be looking at verses. Now, Pastor Crow, we just discussed 4, 5, and 6, so now we're going to trek right on down to 7, 8, and 9, and this will wrap up our teaching series on the seed, the sower and the seed, and the types of soils that we have really looked into with depth. And so I'm going to allow you, if you will, to carry on and just move forward into the next three verses of Matthew chapter 13, and we'll just continue to walk through this lesson verse by verse. That's going to be okay with you, I'm sure.
Amen. Well, one of the things, now let's look at this seventh verse. And one of the things, Sister Smith, that I really love about reading God's word, especially when it's in the red, when the Holy Spirit, when you allow the Holy Spirit to be the preacher and the teacher, and you remember there's only one preacher and one teacher. Might be a lot of people, but it's only one preacher, one teacher. It preaches itself. Now, I want to put you to focus on two important truths that we can learn from this first of seven parables that Jesus told after he had been rejected by the Jews. Mm-hmm. If we go up to that 12th chapter we talked about on last week, and you go to that 50th verse, we saw where he had been what? Rejected. And after he had been rejected, we go to that part where he turned. He left the house of Israel, and we use an allegorical picture of that. It says, on that day, he went out of the house and sat beside the sea. I'm backing up a little bit, and we went through what the house signified, the house of Israel, and we used Matthew 10 and 6. We saw what the sea signifies, the Gentile world. We dealt with Daniel 7 and 3 and Revelation 17 and 15. And then we saw where he forsook the house of Israel and what? Turned to the Gentile. Now watch on this seventh verse. two important truths that we will learn from this parable. Number one, it said, and some fell on thorns. That word, some seeds. Not all seeds, but some seeds. Some fell on good ground. Some fell on thorny ground. And that lets us know the word, as it goes out, it falls on the hearts of many individuals. Some on good ground, some on thorny ground, but it what? Goes out. That's what we as believers, through the Holy Spirit, all we could do is what? Sow the seed. We don't know where the seed, who it's going to affect, or how it's going to affect, but we know that if the Holy Spirit is doing the preaching and the teaching, we sow. But some seeds, and it's not God's desire that anybody go to hell. And that's why we still have a chance, because his word is going out right now through the radio, through the internet. And it's falling on some ears. Some will reject it. Some will accept it. So one of the truths is some, not all. Everybody not going to, everybody not going to heaven. But two important truths is, number one, that some seed, talking about the word of God, fell on each type of ground. I'm talking about the word of God. Now, let me give you an example and some seed. I want you to look at Luke 8 and 12. And if you read that 12th verse on down to that 15th, that gives you an example of what I'm speaking of when I say some seeds. Read that 8 through 12, Sister Smith, and just read it so our audience can hear it, because that word, what? Some seeds.
All right. And is that Luke 8, 12 through?
Luke 8, 12.
All right. And it reads this way. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, who believe for a while and in time of temptation fall away. Now, the ones that fell among the thorns are those who, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity.
Hold it right there. Now, that's where we're at. Now, watch. The thorns. Now, the thorns signify the anxieties of the age, that the deceitfulness of riches, which utterly choke the word, preventing it from growing in the hearts and causing it to become fruitful. Wait a minute now. The anxieties of our times, and we're living in the closing days of grace. We're living in some times that can cause anxieties in us. We're living in some times that can cause migraine headaches. We're living in some times that could cause high blood pressure. We're living in some times that can cause us to be nerved up, to be, Lord have mercy, I think somebody out there know what I'm talking about. And we're living in some times where if we're not careful, we'll be deceived by riches of the world. We work so hard trying to have this, that, and the other, until the word, now watch this here, is choked, and it prevents us from growing in our heart, causing us to be unfruitful. When we worry too much about robbing Peter to pay Paul, when we worry too much about trying to be like the Jones, when we worry too much about trying to have all these worldly things, guess what? The word, it chokes out. The word which tells us we rich, he became poor that we might be rich. How you going to be rich, preacher? We rich with the fruit of the Spirit. You taught that lesson a couple of weeks ago, but look here, the fruit of the Spirit. And the question comes when they talk about deceitful of the rich. How much would you pay for love, joy, and peace? That's inward fruit. But see, we deceive. We want the financial. We want the riches. We want the housing. And there's nothing wrong with that. Now, don't get me wrong. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and all his righteousness. And look here, God will add to you. But when we don't let the word sink in our hearts, we be deceived by the riches of this world, and we forget that he became poor that we might be rich. That's our Sunday school lesson coming up this week. Well, how did he become poor? Well, Sir Smith, the old preacher, would say, when Adam fell in the garden and we needed somebody to redeem us back, nobody was able to redeem us. Take Abraham, father of faith, Daniel, the praying man. You could take Samson, the strongest man. You take them all, but none of them could redeem us back. But Jesus, wait a minute. The old preacher said he gave his glory to the moon, gave his glitter to the stars. Look here. And he took humanity and embedded it in, he took divinity and embedded it in humanity and came down. And well, he was already rich because his father owned everything. But he became poor that we might be rich. Rich with what, preacher? Love, joy, and peace. You talked about that the other week. Oh, the Lord bless you when you talked about that. Talking about inward fruit. How much would you pay for love? How much would you pay for joy? How much would you pay for peace? I tell you what, if love, joy, and peace is on the stock market, it sure would be not some. It would be a whole lot of people wouldn't have none. But thank be to God, because he was born low. He didn't stop by the White House. He didn't stop by the palace. He was born in a manger, according to the word of God. And because he sits on the throne of our life, we are rich in love, joy, and peace. I just believe there's somebody out there might not have no whole bunch of money, but guess what? They got love. Somebody out there might not have no goal, but they got what? Peace. And look here, I know somebody out there, in spite of what they're going through, in the midst of their afflictions, they got joy. So I didn't want to get carried away on that, Sister Smith, but what I'm saying is that the thorns of life signify the anxieties of our time and the deceitfulness of riches, which utterly choke the word and prevent us from growing in our heart, causing us to become what? Unfruitful. Let me read that 22nd verse, Sister Smith, and I think we'll get a little closer. I'm almost finished. Read that 22nd verse in Matthew 22nd.
Matthew chapter 13, verse 22.
Yeah.
And it reads this way. And the one sown in the thorns is, this is he who hears the word, and the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches utterly choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful.
Now watch this. Watch this. I want you to get James 1. 23-24 and talk about our unfruitfulness. Let's give you an example of what unfruitfulness is. James 1:23-24. Because we become unfruitful because the thorns of life distract us from doing what we ought to be doing. the thorn of life instead of us sowing seeds so that some can hear, we are distracted. And when we are distracted, all that richness that we have that God blessed us with, that inward fruit, and you talked about this on week four last, that outward fruit, long-suffering, patience, gentleness, for our fellow man, we fall short on that because we what? It's been choked out. And let's give us another guy. What did James say about that, Sister Smith?
James 1 and 23 reads this way. For anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror.
Now, in that mirror, we don't want that to pass by. It's the word of God. I'm not talking about no physical mirror where you look at yourself when you get ready. That mirror is what? The word. I'm talking about that mirror is when you allow the Holy Spirit to show you and point yourself out. You know, some people go to church and they'll say, preacher, how that preacher know about me? The Holy Spirit will put his finger on your nose and tell you more about you. I'm talking about through his word, looking in the glass, not this mirror on you in your bedroom, but I'm talking about the word. Come on, keep reading.
Verse 24, for he observes himself, goes away, and immediately forgets what kind of man he was.
And that's unfruitful. Forgetfulness,
man.
Thorns of life, the anxieties of life, the deceitfulness of riches. Man, look, it calls us to forget everything what we learn. I'm talking about we get 10 feet out of church and we just forgot. And somebody pass us up on the street, turn in our lane before we're supposed to. Instead of giving them the cross sign, we give them the wrong sign, forgot all about what we just heard. Darkness and snatched it because of the what? Anxiety of life. But wait a minute, Sister Smith, I got to get out of here. I rejoice on that eighth verse. We talked about the stony ground, and we talked about the thorny ground and the hard-heartedness. But what about the good ground? Read that eighth verse for me.
Eighth verse reads this way. But others fell on the good ground or the good earth and yielded fruit, one a hundredfold and one 60-fold and one 30-fold.
Lord have mercy. Now watch this. When it falls on good ground, that verse gives me three words and three scriptures I want to give to you, and I'm almost out your way. Number one, read that 23rd verse. You read the 8th, now read the 23rd verse, Sister Smith.
23rd verse.
Mm-hmm.
But he who received seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30.
Now it's three words, three statements I want to bring out from this verse, and I want you to get, first of all, out of that 23rd verse, you get spiritual reception. You go to Luke 10 and 39 from this. Spiritual receptivity. When you receive the word in your heart and it falls deep and takes root, we call that spiritual receptivity. Look what Luke 10 and 39 say. Read that, Sister Smith.
And it reads this way, and she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word.
Lord have mercy. Martha was running around dealing with the anxieties of the world. She meant well. She was trying to get things together. But what? Mary what? Sat at his feet. Well, if I had time, I'd take you to that demoniac that was a wild man that lived in the graveyard, that nobody could chain him down, nobody could handle him. He ran around naked, and, man, everybody was afraid of him, but he saw Jesus, and he received Jesus. And when you get down to the end of the story, they came and they saw him, and he was what? Sitting at the feet of Jesus in clothes with his right mind. He had clothes, and they said, wait, I'm just saying when you are receptive, somebody don't want, and again, remember, some see, wait a minute, let me take another understanding and spiritual knowledge. Give me 2 Timothy 2:7. Because when we are receptive of the word, he in turn gives us what? Understanding and spiritual knowledge. Not that we better than nobody, but we better off. We understand, we're not looking at life just through our physical eyes. We're looking at life through our spiritual eye. We understand that, yes, sometimes it's some up days, but we know some down days coming. We know how to deal with the storms of life. We know how to deal with the anxieties of life. Why? Because we understand what the word says, and we understand through what? Spiritual knowledge. What does 2 Timothy 2:7 say?
2 Timothy 2:7, consider what I say. And may the Lord give you understanding in all things.
In all things. I don't care what it is. In what? All things. Wait a minute. I stop right here. I'd go to Proverbs 3:6 where it say, in all thy ways acknowledge him. It say, trust in the Lord, and in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct our path. First of all, you got to acknowledge him.
Amen.
I'm talking about when you don't know which way to go. I'm talking about you say, Lord, look at now. I don't know which way to go. I'll acknowledge what? Him. And even when you go the wrong way, you say, Lord, now wait a minute. You got to help me. I think I went the wrong. Acknowledge him, and he'll give you what? Understanding. And here's the last one. Here's the last one. It say you get out that 23rd verse, you get spiritual receptive, you get understanding knowledge, and then you get spiritual fruit. I want you to read John 12:24 because I want the listening audience to understand about what spiritual fruit. We get what? Spirit. When you what? Are receptive to the word. The word gives us what? Understanding and spiritual knowledge. Some folks say, well, how do you know that? It's not me. It's the Holy Spirit in me. And God has, one of the things I tell them all the time, I'm a kidney patient, and I was on dialysis for 3.5 years, my testimony. And God gave me a kidney transplant some 10 years ago. And I've been fine ever since. And I get a chance to talk to other people that are going through dialysis or that have, and the Holy Spirit in me can comfort them because he had given me understanding and spiritual knowledge. And that's what happened when we are what? Receptive. Somebody out there have been through drug addiction. Somebody out there have been through alcoholism. Somebody out there have been through lying. Somebody out there been through thieving. And God has changed your life. And in turn, you can sow seeds and help somebody. And the person that you help, they don't understand why. Why? Because you were receptive. Read that, and I'm almost at your waist, Sister Smith.
John 12:24.
Uh-huh.
Most surely, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it produces much grain.
In other words, the old man got to die so that the new man could come out the old life.
Amen.
Man, look here. My pastor, Patricia Jackson, used to tell me, and used to make that statement, the old preacher say, you can't have a resurrection until you had a crucifixion. Somewhere in life, you got to die to some things. And when it looks like the world is putting that dirt on your face, guess what? You will have a resurrection. But some things in our life have to die. Well, wait a minute. Now, let's close this out because I want to get back to you, Sister Smith, and I appreciate you letting us, the Holy Spirit, have a say. But look at that eighth verse again. Read that eighth verse one more time, and then read that ninth verse right along with it. And we'll pass it on. We'll pass it on. Read the eighth and ninth verse of Matthew.
All right. Matthew 13, verse 8 and 9. But mm-hmm. others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some a hundredfold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear.
Now, we started out saying that a parable is a earthly message with a heavenly meaning. He turned from the Jewish leaders and went to the Gentiles because they didn't understand the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. And you'll see in that 10th verse, if you keep going, disciples going to ask him, well, now, why did you? He talked to them, he gave the parable because he wants you and I to understand that good ground can produce understanding and knowledge. It can produce spiritual fruit, and it can produce spiritual receptivity. And one thing we got to keep in mind, Jesus never asked us to do something that he didn't do himself. He set the example of good ground. This is my last scripture. So Smith, get Matthew 27:29. He set the example. He didn't tell us, well, you good ground. He gave us the example of good ground. And he gave it to us. Matthew explained it in that 27th chapter in that 29th verse, good ground himself. Read it for me, Sister Smith.
When they had twisted a crown of thorns, they put it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And they bowed the knee before him and mocked him, saying, Hail, King of the Jews. Then they spat on him and took the reed and struck him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they took the robe off him, put his own clothes on him, and led him away to be crucified.
Come
now,
on,
as they came out, they found a man of Cyrene, Simon by name. Him they compelled to bear his cross. And when they had come to a place called Golgotha, that is to say, place of a skull, they gave him sour wine mingled with gall to drink. But when he had tasted it, he would not drink. Then they crucified him and divided his garments, casting lots, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet.
Hold it right there, Sister Smith, because I don't know about nobody else, but I'm almost about to shout on this end over here. Because
Amen.
He took the anxieties of us. He had no sin. He had no blemish. But that thorn that they put on his head was our sin. Isaiah 53 and say, guess what? He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid on him. And guess what? Those thorns that tried to choke him, but guess what? He took it all. And he went to and somebody out there in Radio Land, DC's fall, he talking about you, those that have rejected him. He took the thorns of life and the deceitfulness of life and died on a hill called Calvary for you and I. But But it didn't stop right there, because if it had stopped right there, we wouldn't be on this radio tonight trying to talk about stony ground. He died, according to the word of God, according to the Bible, on a hill called Calvary. And they took the Rock of Ages. Somebody sang that song, that care for me. That let me hide myself in thee. They took the rock. I'm not talking about the rocks that cause you problems in your stony living. I'm talking about the rock of life. They put the rock in a rock and closed it with a rock. Somebody know where I'm going. And put soldiers around the rock.
Amen.
But on the third day morning, according to the word, now, I don't know what book you read, he got up with all power. And guess what? If you receive him, you can live on good ground. And you can be what? Fruitful. Now watch this here. I promise you, Sister Smith, I got carried away right here. But the conditions of fruitfulness, when you get time, go to Psalms 1 and 3. Psalm 1 and 3. You got that, and I promise you I'm over it. Psalm 1 and 3. If you want to have a fruitful life, it's conditions to have a fruitful life, according to the word of God. What Psalm 1 and 3 say?
He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper.
Wait a minute. Go to John 15 and 2. That's living water. That's Jesus. Not no any kind of water, not bowel water, not hydrant water. That's living water. You have to, in order to be fruitful, you have to come in contact with living water. I think Jesus had a conversation with the woman at the well that was thirsty when she went, but she went there with, Lord have mercy. John 15 and 2, conditions.
Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit.
It got to be some chastening. God wouldn't chasten if he didn't love us. Something got to be cut off. Because he what? He loves us. I make one more round. Go to 50. You already 15, too. Go to 15 and 5. And I pray the Holy Spirit rest his case for good ground.
Amen. Amen. I am the vine. You are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing.
And I just want to let the audience know tonight, without him abiding through the Holy Spirit in our lives, you can't be fruitful. Because when the Holy Spirit sits on the throne of our lives, and I think that's in Galatians 5, he produces fruit. And you taught that lesson so wonderfully the other week ago. And my prayer today is that good ground, I hope this word find good ground and produce much fruit in our lives. Thank you, Sister Smith, for allowing that opportunity. And I pray the Holy Spirit spoke to our hearts. And as a result, somebody can be saved.
Amen. Amen. I have so enjoyed this delicious meal tonight. Very, very delicious. And God knows how to lay down a menu. And for those of you who are listening tonight, I tell you, if you have not tasted God, the scripture says, oh, taste and see how good he is. He's so good that he's so good to us, we can't even comprehend it. And I tell you, Pastor Crow, it was just a awesome, awesome word that you walked us through these passages hand in hand, and you showed us this picture of how Jesus was the ultimate ground, ultimate good ground. and that died on the cross for us, that we would have eternal life. And he demonstrated the kind of ground, the kind of soil, the type of heart. He was the best fertilizer. And he went to the cross. And I tell you, I love to desire to sit at his feet. So this is rich to me. And I hunger for this. I thirst after this, Lord, Brother Crow. And I just thank God for you being obedient and willing to dispense, or should I say extend, the gospel in all its richness. In all its richness. And
God be the glory. God be the glory.
Yes, I thank you so much. I tell you, I wanted to open up the lines for a few moments. We've got a few minutes to maybe take a phone call from someone who is wanting to ask a question or just have a share moment. If you would, unmute your phone or and speak up, and at least we can take a phone call before we close out our program. And I tell you, it's been a beautiful ride. And I thank God for my guest, Pastor Crow, for shedding light, exposing the beautiful light. So if someone is on the line or would like to speak up now, please, and at least let us know you're listening, if you will. And I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I tell you, we are a light, and we are to stand up and be a light in this dark world. And at times we may not feel like shining, but it is our duty as a believer in Christ Jesus to shine bright like a city on a hill. So if you would like to give us a share moment or give us a share or a verse or a scripture, I want to open up the lines for this opportunity to do so. So don't feel afraid. You are amongst friends. So is there anyone who would like to ask Pastor Crow a question? And he can expound on a particular issue that you might have been struggling with, or maybe a verse that you may have had some struggle understanding. Please do not be afraid to speak up at this moment and acknowledge. I will acknowledge you, make yourself known, and I will give you an opportunity to do so. If not, we'll just move on into our close of the program. So please give us a holler at this time. Pastor Crow, I tell you, this has just been such a wonderful ride for us to look at these passages and understand, get a deeper and a better understanding of the sower, the seed, and the soil. And it's just not a word that it's very profound, actually. It goes so much more deeper than just the surface. And I thank God for the parable.
Oh yeah, the parable. Well, and this was the first parable that he spoke, and there are six others that he spoke. But it was for us as Gentiles to understand. And as we stated, a parable is a earthly story with a spiritual meaning.
Amen.
And thank God. The opportunity, and I thank God. And that lesson you taught a couple of weeks ago about the fruit of the Spirit, it all comes all right back around, you know.
Yes,
and,
it does.
I want to encourage you, Sister Smith. You've been doing Heart to Heart for 10 years, and I just want to encourage you to keep on letting the Holy Spirit use you. And I want to pray for you right now that the Holy Spirit will continue to use you in a mighty way, that he continues to lift you up to speak the word of God and to help people. Because you have been a blessing to me, and I know you are a blessing to others. Our Father in heaven, I come right now just thanking you for the life of Sister Carnita Smith. Thank you for what you're doing for her right now. And Lord, all you told us to do was sow the seeds. And we saw in your word that some seeds fell in different places. And I want to encourage her right now in the name of Jesus that the Holy Spirit will continue to give her the boldness and the strength and the understanding to be a good seed sower. Pray that you continue to let her be a blessing to others. Pray that this radio internet program grows and goes out so that someone that might not know Jesus in the pardoning of their sin will come to know who he is. Thank you for Sister Smith. Thank you for using her. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you so much. I thank God is for those who are listening tonight. I know you're out there. I know, and I thank God for your faithfulness. I may not be able to see you, but I thank God in the spirit, hallelujah, that you are faithful to his call and to his word, and that you do him honor by working in the vineyard, no matter how great the call or no matter how small the call. Just continue to be a vessel, an earthen vessel of his, that you would honor him with your life. And so this brings us to the close of the program. And again, Pastor Grow, thank you so much for being a part of this series, this teaching series of the seed and the sower and the soil. Please, for your private study time, revisit the program and those that have been archived, and just continue to grow and go. I tell you, those who persevere or press in close to maturity will prove to be good soil. So press in close to Jesus and provide, and watch him provide. Watch him provide you to be a good soil. Study to show thyself approved unto God. So this is what I want you to receive tonight as well, is just to allow the Holy Spirit to have his way in you, that the fruit of the Spirit would show through you, that someone would be able to come into the fold or to the family or to the kingdom of Jesus Christ because of your obedience to the Holy Spirit. Pastor Crow, thank you again. And this brings us to the close of Mission from the Heart Radio, concluding our series tonight on the sower, the seed, and that different types of soil. So thank you again for your faithfulness. And remember, the grass withereth and the flowers fadeth away, but the word of God remains forever.
Amen.
Amen and good night. And thank you again for listening to Mission from the Heart Radio. We will have a special guest on our program next program meeting on Thursday night. And this brother is a man of God who is on fire and has a beautiful testimony. And please tune in to hear this young man speak about what God has done and transformed his life and how he is so on fire for the Lord. So good night and enjoy your weekend and enjoy worship service on Sunday. Thank you so much. God bless.